Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 27. My name is Joe and today we're looking to see how the pundits and elite managers in the Great and the Good League at Fantasy Football Scout are getting on. So who are these managers? Many have multiple strong finishes and in Ali's case, he's actually won it. Black Boxes, Mark and Az, myself, Seb and Andy from the Scoutcast and many more all in this list of 18 managers. We'll also look to second guess their next moves, especially with chips set to be deployed over the coming weeks. Now we have the FA Cup out of the way. The free hit chip in 29, whether or not they will use it, will be a key point of discussion. As ever, I'm joined by Greyhead, who compiles this table. Greyhead, welcome. How are you?
Very well indeed. Looking forward to a game week of relative normality before we start planning ahead of the blank.
Yeah, a rare single game week before after a blank and for a double in 28, but that's for the next video and podcast. Okay, what I'll do is I'll put the table up to see how myself and everyone else got on in game week 26. There's a lot of red there. So yeah, what's the theme? Just two seem to have got a green arrow.
Yeah, no, it was a sea of red this week, I'm afraid. I think a lot of it was almost like a hangover from the double game week the previous week, where obviously people went in heavy on the Liverpool players. And so they had to kind of take hits this week or try and recover really a bit in terms of making transfers to kind of prepare for the weeks ahead. So, yeah, lots of red this week. And Mark was the kind of really only the, well, Mark and obviously FBO mode, Andy both got green. But Mark was a bigger one because he gambled on Saka.
Rightio. Okay, so yeah, I mean, nevertheless, a lot of the greens and the reds, they're quite minimal as well. So, I mean, looking down the list, so Mark's green arrow was 1,600, which around his rank's pretty good because obviously he's 13,000 now overall. But with Andy, just 500 places and he's 74,000. So that's not as much. And then also people like, say, Seb went up, went down with a red arrow, but only 441. I mean, that's borderline a grey arrow. Myself, I got 2,241. I just went down from 55K to 57K. So that was quite a theme. I think it was only, I'm just looking down the list here, and it's only really Tom who had a stinker. 112,000 he fell down, and he's now just outside the top 300,000. Ali as well, who also captained Saka, got 130. Oh my God, there's so many digits here. It's 108,000 rank drop, and he's now outside. Well, was outside the top million, and very much outside the top million.
Yeah. But he'll be back. He'll be back. Like you say, he's a manager who kind of swings back and forth every week. But no, like you say, lots of minimal moves. I was hoping for a grey dot this week from one of you, but nobody quite managed it.
Oh, so, I was so close. I was really looking forward to that. But it was Bowen, really. I think if Bowen hadn't have got his hat trick, because I don't have Bowen, I think that was the drop. There was about 4,000 according to Live FPL.
Yeah. Well, no one had Bowen. No one allowed it. Well, I was surprised that not one of the these managers actually had him, to be honest. I thought one or two might have just kind of picked him as a, you know, fun pick, as it were. But
yes, that was good. I think, did Areola get a save point? It was one of those weeks where you look at, where you see those memes on Twitter of people like enthusiastically welcoming a save point.
You know, it's a dodgy week when the save points have been counted up along the way.
Yeah, but, so, I mean,
point.
The points there, 500, 52, 58, 64, 65, 53. That's the theme. I think everyone is between Tom at 41 and you're going to help me there. Seb, 65. And he took a minus eight, though. So he's.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone's in the.
Yeah. I mean, Mark obviously got the highest score because that, but like you say, it's all within that range. So no big movement more than anything else. It was just, like I say, I think Mark gambled on the Saka captaincy. Yeah. And then Mark, obviously, he also had Leon Bailey, who he picked quite a while ago and finally came good. So.
Leon Bailey could be popular for game week 29, whether people are free hitting or not, because, of course, Aston Villa do play, albeit away at West Ham. Let's have a look at the transfers that were made. Now, I was off last week, so I was not swept up by the love for Hwang. But a lot of this group were. What's the main story of the transfers this week?
It's all about Hwang.
Yeah.
It was all about Hwang, basically.
All about Hwang.
And then, no, I'm afraid to say he was the one that everyone moved to. I mean, for very good reason. They obviously... they had a great fixture. He'd been doing well before he went off on that international duty. So I very much got the rationale. I think obviously a lot of people were kind of gambling that Wolves' fixtures may well drop into game week 29. So he was very much the kind of the popular choice. And then the other transfer was obviously Solanke, and that was more in preparation for the double game week 28. They're looking to get them in. Ironically, they've both got niggles injuries, so not looking quite so good in hindsight.
Okay, so this is we're recording this on Friday morning. There's press conferences taking place on Friday, so we should know by the time you see this, we'll get this out around midday-ish. You should perhaps know what the situation is with any of those players. So it may be that they are definitely out. Maybe that they're doubts. It may be they're fit to play. But yeah, I've just counted up while you're talking there. 14 out of 18 got Hwang in. Myself is not included there, but I did get Solanke in. And I think the theme there was people were moving off some of their Liverpool assets, particularly obviously the ones that are injured.
It was kind of logical process, really, because like you say, they'd invest in Liverpool players beforehand. Jota, obviously, unfortunately, has got that injury, so he was immediately an obvious move out, and obviously that's where Hwang came in, and then obviously Darwin, it was time to move him on and, like I say, start to prepare by bringing in Solanke as well. And a lot of people were taking hits, as I said, and so therefore it's easy to kind of hide those minus fours and start preparing yourself for that double game week 28 and the blank ahead as well. So I think there's about 15 hits in total between them all, and a couple of them took minus eight. So I think that was Seb, General, and I think it's Seb and General, maybe Andy as well, took minus eight, and all in terms of kind of preparing themselves for what's to come.
Okay, so if like me, you had Darwin, moved to Solanke or Watkins, and those with Jota. I didn't have Jota, so I didn't have Jota to remove. But if you had Jota, an obvious move was the popular bandwagon of the week, which was Hwang. But as you said, no one went for Bowen, who would have been the more lucrative one.
Yeah, no one went for Bowen. I think Douglas Luiz was one of Seb's moves, part of his minus eight. So that was a good move. And again, I think that was when we talk about the free hit, possible free hits coming out. I think that was part of his plans to avoid that in game week 29.
Okay, so let's have a look at what the template looks like now. So we've got a sort of a team sheet here, and a percentage of how many teams they're in. So from there we can see that Foden and Saka are in pretty much all of teams. Haaland is in all of teams, as is Watkins. Solanke's in three quarters of teams. De Bruyne only in a third, just over a third of teams. Gabriel in pretty much most teams, 9 out of 10 teams. Stupinan still knocking around there. Areola is the goalkeeper of choice in two-thirds of teams. Saliba in just over a third of teams. So that Arsenal double up there. Meanwhile, Dubravka's pretty well owned as well, as is Alfie Doughty, Pedro Porro and Palmer. Palmer's in three-quarters of teams there. So Palmer, I think, was about 100%, as now is 72%. So, yeah, I mean, this is interesting, isn't it? It's being away from a week, this has totally changed. It's not what I would have expected.
No, absolutely. And I think we did call some of the moves. I mean, obviously, Doughty, we did say he was going to come in. De Bruyne, as you said, that was interesting. Not as many of them went for him as I thought they would do during the double, and then a couple have sold him this week as well. But no, the main shift in the template over this week was obviously the Liverpool exodus, and then bringing in those two in terms of Solanke and Wang. There won't be much movement in the template this week. My prediction will be Son might be the only one that joins the ranks. I think that will be a replacement for Wang. I think a lot of them have got quite a lot of money in the bank. So, you know, looking at kind of 5 to 6 million in the bank. So that's Mark and Az, and I've kind of got that kind of money. So I think that's an easy upgrade. Yeah. He plays in that blank, and like I say, he's got a goodish fixture against Palace.
Yeah, I think Son's good for all strategies. So we'll come to whether we think they're going to free hit in 29 or not. But
yeah,
I think that's a good prediction around Son, because if you aren't free hitting in 29, you'll probably want Son in because he's a key player that week. Also, Spurs have good fixtures going on, and they have a great fixture this week against Crystal Palace, and arguably for Son, perhaps next week, they have a really good fixture against Villa and their high line, which could help Son. But even if you are free hitting as well, you know, he's still a good player to get in, especially if you've got Chan. There's 14 out of 18 managers have Chan who could be injured and out this weekend. And as you said, they've got money in the bank. It won't be for me, so I can reveal that won't be for me. I don't have Chan. I don't have 5 million in the bank. I've got about 3 million in the bank. I don't want to remove any of my midfielders particularly. I've got De Bruyne. Who is interesting this week. Blanked again in the league and then whipped up, how many assists? Four? Five?
Yeah, they went crazy during the cup game, didn't they?
So he's against Manchester United. You would think he's going to play. De Bruyne is going to be an interesting dividing point, I think, amongst this group of managers.
Yeah, again, De Bruyne was a differential, really, I think, for those who kind of held him through the pain that was the missing one of the games during the double. But he lived up to his name, like I say, in the cup match, so I think he'll be back there as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, that the Manchester derby. He'll very likely play because I want him for that big game. So I think he was rested in preparation for this and upcoming fixture as well. So, I think he could be a good call for this weekend.
I think looking ahead, I will be... So if I'm similar to other De Bruyne managers in this group, I'll play him this weekend. He seems fit. He's just come off the back of a huge amount of assists. It's Manchester United. Big game, Kev. He has another big game, Liverpool. In game week, just looking at the fixtures. So, yeah, he's got Liverpool in game week 28. I think that also, you know, he would likely to play that one. But I'm less sort of... I'm looking to sort of move off of Manchester City. And I think other managers might be looking that way as well. So that's a week when I might actually get Son in, even though he hasn't got a double that week. And I'll probably be free hitting in 29. I still think Son has a very good fixture. And then he's in place for me when my non-free hit team comes back in game week 30, so I can go straight into Luton at home for Son, where he's captainable.
I think that will be a popular move to move him across. But it's interesting because, like you say, De Bruyne is a big game player. I mean, the Liverpool fixture is probably not going to be low scoring, so you suspect he's going to get something there as well. But I think the Son move is probably more sensible. Because, like I say, high line, you mentioned that already, and the fact that he gets Villa, and then you've also got him ready for game week 30 onwards as well.
Yeah, so I think it'll be one of the themes of game week 27. This is our prediction, is it's basically going to be Son v KDB.
Yeah.
That's going to be the... I don't think many teams are going to have both. I don't think any will. I might be wrong, but I do think it'll be between them. So the game week, probably, because there's so many similar players here, with like Haaland and Watkins, etc. The game, it could be one of those game weeks where it's just those one or two players is going to be the difference. Unfortunately, I mean, for swings, that's pretty, that could be huge, because Kevin De Bruyne and Son are both big game players. Yeah. And they could do well.
Yeah, they will be the swingers this week, aren't they?
Okay. Well. Rightio. Let's have a look. I've got a thing in my notes here. It just says free hit or not. So I've got a table here. So what are we looking at here then? What are we looking at here, and what does this tell us about free hit?
It's a brand new game show, free hit or not. I mean, it's going to take over the quiz shows by storm. But no, it's basically, I just wanted to just have a quick check in, almost like a sanity check, to see how many players these managers have got already set up for the blank game week 29, and then really just trying to think through. So what are they going to do? What's going to be their decision-making process as to whether or not they're going to use that chip or potentially leave it to the other favoured option, which is that game week 34, when there's going to be that kind of awkward double that they're planning for as well. So there's a lot of debate at the moment about whether to use that chip in that 29 or whether to dead end, really, or kind of, you know, as in make transfers, so you kind of got a minimum of kind of nine-ish players for that area as well. So having a look at this list, you can see Seb is obviously top at the moment in terms of having seven players. I think he's almost like made that move in mind when he took his minus eight this week, so I think he was kind of preparing for that one. And as you go down the table, I think it's less likely. At the moment, I think the tipping point for me is that kind of like, have you got five or six players? And obviously that's going to be the interesting one in terms of which way you go.
Okay, yeah. So as you said, Seb has got Pau Torres, Douglas Luiz, Watkins, who's got a Villa triple up. He's got Flecken, he's got Alfie Doughty, Richarlison, who could be injured this weekend, but available in 29, we'd assume. And Porro could be injured. We'll know more. Perhaps when you're watching this, you'll know more. But you would think be available in 29. So it's a good seven as well. He's got three transfers left. Luton, I was just trying to second guess Seb here, but Luton are playing twice and playing 29, is my understanding. Yeah. So he can get a couple more Luton. So I think someone like Ross Barkley might come in. And it's just players like that. So he's got three transfers. With a hit, he can get 11 out. Just one hit, he can get 11 out, which is pretty amazing, actually. And it's a not bad 11. He'll probably want to get Tony in. He might want to get Bowen in. So Tony, Bowen, and another Luton player, I think he's all set if he's already got Solanke.
I think he's put himself in a good position, I think, for that piece as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think, and like I said, I think he was one of the few that I think has gambled, too strong a word, but has kind of like put his cards on the table in terms of he's really going to kind of go for that kind of the dead end or prepare for it and not use the free hit. Okay. Whereas I think a lot of the other managers are sent to kind of like, you know, still waiting, you know. If you look at the numbers of players, and they're all, like I say, it's a 5-6, but then also what players have they got in that 5 or 6? Have they got the key players? And that's going to be the key tipping point around whether or not you use that free hit. So have you got, like you say, your Villas, your kind of triple Villa? Have you kind of got Son? Have you got maybe Bowen? Have you got maybe Tony? These are the players that are going to be the key decision point as well. And then also, I think another factor that people need to think about is it's Luton. So obviously, if you go through this strategy of wanting to build towards that blank, then you're going to have to invest in Luton. So, and no disrespect to Luton, they could come very good, and Barkley may have a fantastic double, but it does mean you're gambling a bit on that.
They have Crystal Palace away, Bournemouth away in the double, and then Nottingham Forest at home in 29. So you would think that's actually quite a good fixture. Then they have Tottenham and Arsenal, so it gets bad, but you can bench them. And of course, you mentioned Son there. I don't know if Seb has already, he obviously hasn't already got Son. I would imagine he will be another looking at getting Son in, because that would fit with his non-free hit strategy. I'm fairly confident. I'm 99.9% sure Seb is not going to be free hitting. That would be insane, because he's very well set up for it. Down the list, though, you mentioned 5 or 6 is the tipping point. So let's go with some of those. I mean, there's a lot of managers mentioned. We're not going to mention all of the managers and all of the, but we'll just pick a few out. Zofa was six. He's on a tipping point. Six is good. He can get 10 or so very credible players with maybe a hit, but his players aren't as good. He's got Areola. He's got Cash, whose place could be at risk. Yeah. Watkins, good. Richarlison, good. Kabore, not so good. Yeah. Porro, good. So really, he's got sort of three or four of the players.
Yeah, and I think that's what you need to think about. It's not just, you know, the numbers. It's who you've got in those numbers. And also, we've got injuries to come yet. Yeah. You know, it's a couple of weeks away. So that's why I see this week will be a kind of wait and see week. I can see a few of them light stuff and maybe roll a transfer. Just to, you know, just wait and see what happens, and they can decide what to do.
Yes, indeed. And also, you've got to think what they're saving the free hit for.
Yes.
So Seb will have this in mind. So game week 34, ideally, it's set to be we're not sure what the doubles are going to be. They're not set to be as good as 37. 37 looks perhaps better for a bench boost. So the free hit could be good in 34, but game week 34 could be rubbish. it could have terrible fixtures. But either way, if you're set up well for blank game week 29, chances are you're possibly not well set up for 34. You might want to wildcard before that and then use the free hit to sort of meander that. So it's sort of a very flexible strategy, I think. Zofa, I'm not sure which way he's going to go. I think he may not free hit, but it all depends on what he thinks about free hit in 34, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, but you look at someone like Pratt, I think he's only got five. And I think he's already kind of stated publicly he's not looking to free hit, even though he's only got five, as it were. And then you've got people lower down the table like yourself and I'd imagine he's going to free hit. I suspect you will do as well, using my predictive powers in terms of what's going to happen on that piece as well. But I think flexibility is key. I know it's kind of a often repeated phrase when it comes to FPL, I think the more you can give yourself the choice as we get closer, I think the better position you're going to be in.
Yeah, those with five players, so those watching and listening might have five players and they might be thinking, oh, you know, I'm in that boat. And it's a tipping point, but it's really going to depend on the quality of what you got. So as you mentioned there with Praz has Areola, not so great. Pau Torres could be good. Watkins, Richarlison and Konsa. So he's going heavy on Aston Villa there. He's got some good players in place. So, yeah, he can use with hits four transfers or so to get a pretty credible team out in 29. However, also on five, for example, is FPL General. He also has Areola, he also has Powell, he also has Watkins. But then he has Porro and Bell. And Bell is the annoying one. So that tips him down to maybe four. And I think that's the theme there. But then once you get down to four, those who've got four, so if you're watching and listening, and I think this is going to be a lot, judging by this, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of these managers, the vast majority there, have just four players. So it's really going to depend on the quality there. And I think a lot of these will be free hitting. Mark, for example, with four, he's got Bailey, Watkins, Alfie Doughty and Porro. He could go either way here. But then others, for example, looking at Tom, Areola, Taylor, Burnley, Watkins and Barkley. I think he's going to free hit. And then Jan is interesting because he's got Areola, Watkins, Alfie Doughty and Gibbs White. He can go either way because Gibbs White's a really good differential, I think, for 29.
You don't see many Gibbs White, though, but no. he's held for quite a long time. So, and he's quietly ticked along. You know, the haul here and there. So that's a good pick, and I think certainly the Forest players, if people do free hit in game week 29, I think Gibbs White will be a popular choice. I think the other thing to think about as well is also the wildcard strategy as well. So I mean, in terms of, you know, does then that mean that you're going to wildcard in 31, which I'm sure will be quite popular, or are they going to say, right, no, we're going to almost like plan to get through to game week 34 and then wildcard in 35, ready to take advantage of that bench boost because you have more information about which teams are going to be doubling in that game week as well. So that's going to be a factor And then, like I said, it's almost like there's also a bit of in terms of double game week 28. Do you back Luton or do you back Bournemouth? Because obviously, if you free hit, you can invest a bit more in Bournemouth in double game week 28, and they've got two very good fixtures.
For myself, I'll do what I always do. Moderation is key. And I'll have a bit of Luton. I'll have a bit of Bournemouth. But I won't go overboard on either. And then once you get down to, I mean, just to finish this table off, if you are watching and listening and you're like me and Marco, you've got three players. In my case, I've got Areola, who I don't particularly want, Watkins and Alfie Doughty. So I've technically got two good players. There's no way I can get a credible team, even unless I spend a vast amount of hits, and that would be counterproductive. So a free hit is pretty much locked in for me. Well, it is locked in. I will be working towards it. And then, so for my wild card, I'll be looking to see what I can do for 34. I might wild card before that, but my aim is to wild card in 35, set up for a bench boost in 37, and just have a good end to the season. Marco, he's got Watkins, Areola and Koufal, arguably worse than me. So he's got double West Ham defence. So yeah, if you're watching and you're like me and Marco, free hit. If you're watching and don't have the free hit, and there is some in this group, Az hasn't got his free hit.
He hasn't got his bench boost. That's but it. John Ballantyne, who's a very good manager, he was in the Hall of Fame. He played his free hit during the double game week 25. So he went all in on that, which again, unfortunately, didn't work out because that wasn't as explosive as we thought it might be. So he's going to have to find a way to navigate it without that. Again, there's some people have been talking about doing an early wild card, you know, even wild card in this week to try and navigate our way through. So you never know, he might be one that decides to go down that path.
I think the way the fixtures are, because of Man City's game against Manchester United, then they play Liverpool away. I think if any of this group are going to wild card, I don't think it's going to be this week. I think it's going to be in 28, but early, I mean. So we might see one or two wildcards in 28, and it might be some of those that are a bit further down. See, Tom's coming off a bad game week, and he might decide he wants to refresh his team. Az might think that as well, although he's had a bit of an upturn in recent weeks. But so some of those players might, but I don't think we're going to see any this week.
Okay. Well, we'll wait and see.
But next week, definitely. We've got a couple more pictures to put up before we go, just to see how they're doing. This is captaincy. So what's this table? What's this table showing us?
It's just a quick look at the captaincy metric. So it's one I always do focus on because, as always, it's about 25% of your score. So it's worth focusing on captaincy and following all the advice you can get on that piece. It just kind of shows Haaland is dominant, really, 50%, as you expect. It would have been a lot higher had he not got that niggly toe injury or whatever he got. Yeah. So that's that. And then I think Salah is only at 25, 24%. Interesting there, it just flags the manager from the league who has captained him the most. And obviously Fabio is there. Just an interesting point about Fabio, which I think people... It's been said before already, but Fabio, I think if you notice, he always goes for tried and tested players, not just looking at this season history, but also thinking about previous season. So hence why he's always got a lot of faith in Mr. Salah. And then the rest, it kind of shows that it's not really been great for differential captain picks because obviously those who have done haven't really kind of succeeded quite so much. But this week could be interesting, like I say, Saka. We might see him go up. I might see a few Sakas, particularly because he'll do well against that flank against the Sheffield United defence, I'm sure.
Yeah, these are the most captains in the league since game week one. So those percentages are, you know, how long has been captained 50% of the time by these managers all season. 237 times, Salah 116 times. And as you said, Fabio there. And the average points, of us all by captaining Haaland is 16 points. Every time we captain Haaland, we're getting 16 points. Salah, 17 points. Alvarez, 19 points. And other Man City players are also quite strong. De Bruyne, 12 points on average. Foden, 14. So these have been good captains. And as you said, going a bit different, Solanke, the average points there, just three So he's been a bit of a letdown. Saka and Watkins and Darwin all on 9 and Son on 7. So good, okay, but they're not in the elite. So the Fabio picks of Haaland, Salah, they've done very well. But Alvarez, that surprises me, actually. Alvarez has actually done quite well whenever he's been captained. But we're probably not going to see that anymore with De Bruyne back.
No, unfortunately, yeah, Alvarez is very much the forgotten man, I'm afraid, now that De Bruyne and Haaland are backfiring. But it's just not been as... I don't think it's been the season for the differential captain, really. Or if it has been, you've had to get it right, yeah, effectively. And I don't necessarily think it's been that easy this season to do that.
Okay, and final slide. What does this mean in terms of points from captains? So we know who they've captained, and we know in general what the average points are. That, you know, captaining Haaland, Salah, Alvarez has really paid off. The other ones less so. So who's top? Who's got the most points from their captain? Who's the weakest?
Yeah, these are the ones to follow, as it were, if you want a bit of captain advice. So Jan Kepski is right up there. I think he's done particularly well this season. I think notably, do you remember all that back when we had the double game with Luton? He bet on Morris against Haaland, and that really helped him.
Oh,
I think he was the only one that did that. Fabio, obviously, again, he's really kind of risen up the rankings. Like I say, he's been very good when to go for Mo over Haaland. I think that's kind of worked out really well for him. And then you can see who's at the bottom. I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay, yeah, and then Harry, I'm going to mention me. I'm fourth, but I'm fourth within a tight pack, which
absolutely
includes FBL General, Andy, etc. So there's only about 10 points between us. So I've done all right. Further down the bottom, Tom 362 points compared to Jan's 442. So big difference. There's an 80 point difference, absolutely huge. And Az as well, 368. He does like to go a bit different with the captaincy. And Ali as well, who goes very different with the captaincy, 372 points. So yeah, absolutely huge differences there. Greyhead, thanks so much for joining me. That was really interesting. It was really interesting for me to look at these managers. And I hope it is for everyone watching and listening as well, to see what these sorts of managers are doing and what they might be doing with their chips. Because I think the number of players they've got, the quality of the players they've got for 29, you know, will chime a lot with people watching and listening and thinking, well, you know, shall I wild card? Shall I free hit? When shall I wild card? And those types of things. So hopefully they're quite similar. Just a reminder, do press that like button. It really helps us out. Do remember to subscribe so you keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. And do check out our latest membership offers at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk so you can get access to some of the sort of insights and stats we've just been showing there. But in the meantime, go ahead. Good luck with your game week. Let's hope you beat all of these managers.
Well, I'm close to doing it. I'm just ahead of mark at the moment, but we shall see if that continues. So anyway, yes, all the best to you as well, Joe, and everyone watching as well for the game week to come.
Take care. See you soon.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.